The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now for the week trending, our guests are coming to us live from the Republic of Work in our Cork studio. Joe O'Shea and Denise O'Donoghue from the Irish Examiner, thank you both very much for joining us. Joe, I'm going to start with you and something that we discussed briefly on the sports headlines last night on the 5 of 5 and 6 of 6, but certainly became the big issue trending on Twitter last night. Declan Rice, who may make his debut for England tonight, and the pro-IRA tweet he sent, or was it an Instagram post, when he was a 15-year-old. OK, what should we make of this, Joe?
Well, it's been quite a week for the Wolfstones between Alan Partridge singing Come Out Your Black and Tans on the BBC.
Martin Brennan, the Alan Partridge lookalike.
I should say so, yes, Martin Brennan. Of course it was Martin Brennan. He looked very like Alan Partridge, looks very like Steve Coogan. So we have Declan Rice being caught up in sort of a thing that follows a lot of celebrities or well-known people around, is, you know, if they don't delete their old posts, they're going to get caught up with stuff like this. It's very funny, to be honest with you. It's kind of, you could see Gareth Southgate had to deal with it today, and he was really did not want to have to deal with this, but he had to say, you know, youthful indiscretions and all that sort of stuff. There is, some people might say that maybe Declan Rice was, we've actually blown his cover, because we were putting him in there as a deep undercover agent to wreck the England football team's chances. Not that they need much help with that. But
Hold on a second. They did get to the semi-finals of the World Cup last year. Yeah, they're in the final of the European Nations League.
That was a terrible World Cup.
He might just miss a penalty in a shootout, though.
You never know. That's Agent Rice will come good eventually in a semi-final shootout at some stage. But it's all going to blow over pretty quickly. I don't think anybody seriously thinks that what he did as a 15-year-old, being a bit of an idiot, is going to follow him around through the rest of his England career.
But Denise O'Donoghue, should we actually take 15-year-olds when they do stupid things on Instagram? Should they be made to pay for it later as adults? And something else that strikes me about it, where did he get the idea that sort of boasting about supporting the RA would somehow be an acceptable thing for an Irish footballer of any age to do?
Well, I think the things we do when we're 15, 16, it's hard sometimes to look back at them because, you know, you do change over the years. Now, I know it's only 3.5 years ago, but I suppose in your own teenage years, you know, you do develop very quickly and you change your attitudes and all that kind of thing. As to whether it was appropriate, I suppose there are so many rebel songs tied in with sport. You know, how do you escape that? And he has been involved with sport, so you can understand how when he was, back when he was thinking about playing for Ireland, there were so many songs around there and so many references that perhaps he just thought, you know, this is fine, this is what people say, it's harmless, it's just a catchphrase. You can see where he came from with that, I think.
But then you also have the thing this week, and not just the Alan Partridge issue on Monday night on the BBC, but Mary Lou McDonald, the leader of Sinn Féin, also got an awful lot of criticism this week for appearing behind a banner at the New York St. Patrick's Day parade, which read, "England, get out of Ireland." Now, apparently this is the one political banner that is there every year. But was it, Denise, I'll start with you in this, the right thing for her to do at a time when we are such delicate, sensitive political position in relation to these islands?
Yeah, I think it was a very strong statement to make with Brexit on the horizon and everything. Maybe she could have picked a better one to stand behind. I don't know. But if it's there every year, you can kind of see the tradition as well. But it does make you think how far we've come with, you know, political correctness and all that. Like, she was, I suppose, making a political statement rather than a personal one. She wasn't talking about the people of England. She was talking about the politics of England. So on that point of view, I suppose they've probably stood behind it every year, and this is just the year that they've cropped up again with it. So I'm not too sure now, to be honest.
What do you think of this, Joe?
I've been to the Paddy's Day Parade in New York, Fifth Avenue. That banner is there every year, and it's always like the same eight guys in dressed like the Clancy brothers are carrying it. They're wearing blackberries and cable knit iron jumpers. And this is, again, this is showing you social media. Like, this, it's not, though, that banner is not for anybody in Ireland. That banner is to appease the kind of lingering kind of romantic republicanism of the Irish Americans. And Mary Lou McDonald and lots of Sinn Féin people before her will have stood behind that banner, and nobody would have cared very much, because it's really only playing to that Irish-American audience. Now, in the era of social media, of course, it blows up and it goes all over, and people are going, oh my God, she wants England out of Ireland. Yeah, she's the leader of Sinn Féin. So that's probably one of their key goals. Again, it's kind of another storm about nothing, really. I can understand why people think it's this crass, dumb statement. The fact that it's England out of Ireland versus the British, or instead of the British, would probably be more correct. But, you know, it's hard for me personally to get excited about this sort of thing, because, like I said, I've seen that banner a few times in New York, and you just kind of laugh at it, to be honest with you.
OK, I'll stay with you, Joe. Who is Daniel Hannan, and why has he become such a figure of fun on the internet in the last week?
Yeah, Brexit. Daniel Hannan is one of these guys, one of these marginal guys that you never would have heard of if it wasn't for Brexit. And because there's so many loons on the Leave side, or at least on the social media and kind of the loudmouth side of the Leave side, Daniel Hannan has kind of cropped up, because The Telegraph, which used to be a serious newspaper, gives guys like this a platform, and he wrote this fairly bonkers analysis of Ireland, Brexit, the backstop, all that kind of stuff, where he got Irish history and recent Irish political events crashingly wrong, basically. I mean, like, seriously wrong. He got schooled, basically, on social media, on Twitter.
Sorry, what did he get so wrong? Just explain what he...
He got everything wrong, but it was Mr. Tribune. He was saying that the Fianna Fáil government got into trouble went out of power because of the Lisbon Treaty. This was around the time of the banking crisis, which, let's say, was a bit more uppermost in people's mind than the Lisbon Treaty and our relationship with the EU. He was talking about that Fianna Fáil had won every Irish election since 1932. And then some people said, well, actually, technically, he's kind of correct, because, you know, with this way our system works and all that kind of stuff, they would have got more of the votes. And
I think
that,
winning
know.
The election means that you get to have your person put in as Taoiseach.
Yes, yes. So anyway, people, like, as Irish people do to relieve the unbelievable stress and kind of how sick we are with Brexit, everybody just went to town on this guy. The hashtag was Hannan Irish History, and it was actually quite funny. And if you want to go and have, if your listeners want to go and have a look at it, it's worth looking at, because it's basically lots of examples of ridiculous interpretations of Irish history, such as that the black and tans were so called because of the tanning craze, the self-tanning craze that swept Ireland in the early 1920s, and they used to go out with loads of fake tan on. It's lots of kind of silly stuff like that. In a way,
the type
it was sort
of stuff
like,
you might have heard an Alan Partridge say.
Yes, back to Alan Partridge. Everything needs to go back to Alan Partridge. They should play that clip instead of the Angelas every night at 6 o'clock. I think I'd love to see that. But anyway, back to our friend Daniel Brainbox Hannan. In a way, it was sort of like, you know, beating up a toddler, because poor Daniel kind of crawled away somewhere, and everybody's had their fun. And I suppose it does relieve the tedium and the stress associated with this never-ending Brexit nightmare.
But Denise, of course, the only thing is, though, this guy is actually an elected member of the European Parliament. This guy is actually one of the main characters who was involved in the Brexit campaign. He's given a regular platform by the likes of the Daily Telegraph to peddle his nonsense. How worrying is that?
I think it's very worrying, not just on his part, but with the Telegraph as well publishing it. You know, they didn't go back and check the basic facts of, you know, how many elections Fianna Fáil won or lost, how the banking crisis had such a hold on the political landscape at the time. I think it's more a product of maybe the English education system. Perhaps they just don't know that much about Ireland and recent Irish politics, maybe further back Irish politics that they had a hand in themselves. It really does make you question, what are they learning over there? You know, what do they really know about us?
Let's move from Daniel Hannan to the giant rat spotted along Dublin's Royal Canal. Tell us about this story, please, Denise, which has seems to get
the
very...
The Kaipu.
The what?
The Kaipu, I think.
Is that what it's called, is it?
I believe so. We have one in Cork as well. He has a Twitter account, over 1,000 followers. So hopefully the Dublin one will be as successful online.
Describe this rat for us, please. I believe they can be quite big.
They can. I think they're about 9 kilos and they can get bigger. They're like an otter, but also a bit like a rat. They carry diseases, so you know, you could pick up one yourself or maybe your pet dogs if you're nearby. They have orange teeth, a long tail, webbed back feet. They sound quite amazing.
It does sound like a house pet, though, do they? Joe, I have to say there, Denise has done a typical Cork thing there, I have to say.
Just crowbarring it in.
Yeah, we had one first, and the 21st century version of we had one first had a Twitter account before anyone could set up.
He's a digital native.
The Dublin rat.
Yeah, he said, well, you know, a lot of people here in Cork are saying that this Coypew has just arrived in trying to steal the thunder of the Cork Coypew, and it's actually just Dublin trying to grab a bit of the glory here. We had Coypews well before it was fashionable, but we had a hipster Coypew. Basically. Well, the thing about our Coypew is I think they shot him, as far as I know, because there was a family of 10 Coypews living along one of the rivers around here. And one of the things that they can do, they're an invasive species, and they probably got out of a petting zoo in Cork. Somebody was keeping these Coypews as pets. They escaped. They can do a lot of damage, apparently, to waterways, and they're not the kind of things you want hanging around the country. So, unfortunately, the reason why Waterways Ireland are asking everybody to keep an eye out for this large invasive rodent is because they're going to get a large man with a large shotgun to go after him as soon as they can find him.
Stephen Abel in the Clash says that Rice tweet just goes to show how little young people know about the horrific murders that the IRA was responsible for, another reason not to drop history in education. Another listener says that if he had tweeted support of ISIS rather than the IRA, would he be winning his first cap for England tonight? Okay, let's move on. And I suppose we're all become used to when we fly on certain airlines that you get your basic flight for a certain price, but everything else is added on. You have to pay for your luggage, priority boarding, all the rest of it. But whoever would have thought that when the airlines themselves buy their aircraft from the likes of manufacturers like Boeing, that various safety features might be an add-on that they have to pay for beyond the base price of the aircraft. Joe O'Shea and Denise O'Donoghue from the Irish Examiner have stayed with us at the Republic of Work in Cork. Denise, tell us a little bit about this investigation by the New York Times into the Boeing 737 MAX 8.
Well, they found that, as you were saying, some of the planes, you do have to pay extra for certain safety features. And even when the airlines that went down most recently, when they listened back on the black box and kind of the recordings, they found that the pilots were even saying, you know, why doesn't the plane have such and such a feature? It's quite surprising, really, Joe, that Boeing, which is such a major company in the airline industry, that they would have that as a practice, that, you know, everything like that is extra. You'd think, like, seatbelts on cars or brakes, that's kind of an essential for your travel.
Yeah, because, Joe, this is essential software, because there are certain elements of the computers take over so much of the flying, but there are certain times when you need an override and you need the pilots to have knowledge of the override to be able to do things.
This is one of those stories you read and you actually can't believe what you're reading. You know, they're basically... They're offering these vital indicators, for instance, one being the angle of attack indicator, which is very important to tell pilots which way the plane is orientated. And they're saying to airlines, you can have it if you want on the plane, but it's going to be another $100,000. And the airlines, the low-cost ones, are saying, yeah, it's okay, we'll do without it, no problem. And then airplanes are falling out of the sky. Boeing are going to... This is beyond a public relations disaster. Boeing are going to be facing serious, serious problems with this, legal problems with this, from the authorities and from the families of the people that were lost. It's just unbelievable that they'll sell a plane and they'll say, you know, you're going to have to pay us extra for what are the vitally important safety features.
But of course, you could say, why don't the airlines pony up the extra money?
Well, it's the airlines, but you know, this is capitalism in the 21st century for you. You know, low cost airlines, and not all low cost airlines, but some low cost airlines, especially it seems to be in developing markets where they really they just make a very, very crude decision that we're, you know, in order to keep our business, keep our planes in the air, we're not going to pay for this. To keep our prices low, we're not going to pay for it. And if something goes wrong, well, you know, it's up to the pilots. In one of the Lion Air crash, they found that the pilots were actually looking at the instruction manual as the plane was going down. They were trying to figure out what was going wrong. It seems incredible. And for a company like Boeing, you know, the biggest aircraft manufacturer in the world, to do this is just... You know, I don't know if you want to use the word criminal, because they haven't been found guilty of anything. It's unconscionable, though. It really is.
Okay, let's move on. And Denise, environmental issues moving more and more to the fore in media coverage. The story from the Philippines of the dead whale who was found with 40 kilograms of plastic in its stomach is quite shocking as well.
It is. It really makes you think I'd better move on to a reusable cup when I'm having coffee. It's astounding, Joe, the amount of waste that is generated. And apparently Southeast Asia, even though it has recycling laws, they aren't really followed. It's one of the most notorious places for dumping, particularly single-use plastic, which then ends up in the bellies of whales, turtles, all the lovely creatures that you see. And unfortunately, they die. That whale was one example. It was found in a terrible condition. Its stomach was full of plastic, but it couldn't eat, so it was starving. It was emaciated. It couldn't survive, and eventually it died in an awful condition. So now there's an appeal out for people to just be a bit more responsible, basically recycling and reusing. So you wouldn't want to see that happening on our shores or any shores.
We would not. Now, something else that's got a lot of attention this week, I think a Liveline special, Joe. The Portlaoise salon owner who won't allow certain customers to come in to get their hair cut because they've arrived in their pyjamas.
Yeah, this is David Finn, who owns the Style Bar in Portlaoise in County Laois. And he did get a lot of attention because I think he touched on a subject that a lot of people care about. He said that he took the action after he went into his salon on Paddy's Day, and there was five women on the sofa waiting to get their hair done, and three of them were wearing their pyjamas or nightwear. You know, he said some of them were wearing dressing gowns over pyjamas or nightdresses. They were in slippers or runners with pyjamas. And he's decided, you know what, this is not suitable for my salon. Also, some of the women apparently are in the habit of paying his customers because they're wearing pyjamas, they don't have any pockets, so they're keeping their money in their bra, and when it comes to time to pay up, they're taking the money out of their bra and handing it over to the staff. So he's taken a stand and said that he's just not going to put up with it anymore. And a lot of people would actually applaud that, myself included.
Why, have you never gone to have your hair cut or to have a shave done strolling down in your pyjamas when you got up early in the morning?
Matt, I do you know what? I cringe when I see grown men out and about in tracksuits, and especially in dirty tracksuits.
You're far too dapper, Joe. You're far too well-dressed.
Do you know what? My late mother, she almost baited into us, do not leave the house without looking your absolute best. Show respect for yourself and other people. I passed a guy standing outside a McDonald's on Patrick Street in Cork the other day, and he was wearing a filthy tracksuit and he had his paw down the front of it. And I really had to stop myself going up and saying it to the guy. I really had to stop. I was that close to going up and saying, what the hell is wrong with you? You're out in public. You know, this thing about, now, I'm going to get called a snob or, you're just all this kind of stuff. I'm not a snob. I'm from a working class area in Cork. I live in a working class area in Cork. I don't know why people would go out in public
wearing
pyjamas.
It's a degree of personal pride, isn't it? A little bit of pride in your appearance.
It is. It's pride, and it doesn't matter. It's nothing to do with how much money you have, whether you can afford designer gear or anything like that. What it's saying to the world is, I don't care about myself and I don't care about you. That's what it's saying to the world.
Denise, I hope you're not guilty now of ever having to get your hair done who's strolling down in your pyjamas, are you?
Oh, I'm not.
You
maybe I don't get up early enough in the morning, but I haven't seen them either.
What do you make of all this? Is that salon owner correct? Is Joe correct in what he's saying?
I do agree. I might not go so far as the tracksuit pants, at least that's a bit of an effort, but definitely pyjamas. There's a time and a place for them, and that's normally nighttime in bed. I think the only time I've ever heard of them as something being used in a salon is, the morning of a wedding, you might get the bride and all the bridesmaids in with their matching fancy pyjamas and, I don't know, bride tribe or whatever embroidered on them. But day to day, I don't see, unless you have a serious medical condition, there's no need to go in your pyjamas. Throw on a pair of jeans, throw on a pair of leggings if you can't be bothered with zips and fasteners. But
the only time you should be seen outside your house in pyjamas is if your house is actually on fire, right? And you had to run out the door. Otherwise, it's just wrong on so many levels. It drives me crazy. And for men and for women, it's, why would you do it? It just, it just, but definitely, I mean, the morning of a wedding, fine, that's great, that's a tradition. There's nothing wrong with that. But people walking around,
even they're clean.
But people walking around at midday in their pajamas on city streets, it's just crazy.
Yeah. Niall in Tipperary says, every morning on my way to work, I see a mother waiting with her children for the school bus, and she does it in her dressing gown and pyjamas. Personal pride is certainly amiss in her case. Denise O'Donoghue and Joe Shea, thank you very much for joining us from our Republic of Work studio in Cork.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.